You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 15th of November 2024. The Australian share market rose today by 0.6%. We'll have the details with Diane College from Morgans, but first to well-being. And Australians are changing their behaviours to alleviate financial stress, making them less anxious. NAB's wellbeing survey rose again in the 3 months to September, but is still below average. And saw the details, I spoke with Dean Pearson. He's NAB's head of behavioural and industry economics. Dean, firstly, how are Australians feeling about their wellbeing, and does it surprise you?
Australians are feeling a little bit better about their lives. I suppose what has surprised us is just how low wellbeing levels have been in Australia. In fact, this index has been running for over a decade, and wellbeing has been averaging around the lows of the past decade. In fact, they approximate sort of the levels that we saw at the start of COVID. So what is significant is they are lifting now, and this is the first time they've improved in six quarterly surveys.
The wellbeing index, though, while it's up, is still below those average levels. What does this tell you?
I think important thing to understand with wellbeing is the way that people will typically score wellbeing is based on what they expected their lives to be like. And I think most Australians went through the COVID period, showed enormous resilience, and then came through into a cost of living crisis. And I think for many Australians, they haven't experienced sustained high level of prices before. So I think the impacts of those have been amplified. So as a result of the cost of living, people have changed their behaviours in a number of ways. So, for example, in the Q3 survey, still one in three Australians were reporting they'd drawn down their savings. One in five said they sold off some of their possessions. So people are making conscious adjustments to their behaviours, which is building resilience, which is reducing some of their anxiety, but it's not helping all aspects of wellbeing, which are still lagging a little bit.
Financial stress, though, is down. That must be a good thing. It was down from its highest in about 8 years. Run us through what that says.
It's absolutely important because we know that financial anxiety and financial concerns have become a more significant driver of wellbeing for many Australians. So it is significant that that's improved. But as you say, it's coming off 8 year high levels, but it is unambiguously better. People report, greater numbers of people report feeling better off financially than they did a year ago. People are starting to say that they feel like their relationship with money is improving. They feel like they've got more greater control of their day-to-day living expenses. They feel a bit more comfortable that they could withstand a major financial shock or major financial expense. So yes, it's coming off a very low level, but it's important that we are starting to see a little bit more confidence around financial concerns.
Can you perhaps run us through what people are most worried about and why?
Interestingly, it's financing retirement. And I say interestingly because that's the biggest financial stress concern of someone 25 as opposed to also someone who's 45. So we're starting to see that people, I think partly this reflects the drawing down of savings over recent times, but it is this real sense of financial security that people are looking for. And that's just not just older people, that's young people as well, who are looking forward and trying to alleviate some of that concern, particularly around, you know, long-term financial concerns around retirement. You know, some of the interesting research we've done before shows that the people who are most concerned about financing retirement are typically those about to enter retirement. The people who are least concerned about it are people who have just entered retirement. So the good news in this is I think some of this concern is a little bit overblown, but I understand why people are looking forward.
And I guess it also explains why there's so much attention on these superannuation funds in recent days. Can you run us through some of the other findings?
Yeah, I think overall what it's starting to show is just how important sentiment is, the mood is, the vibe in economics at the moment. And I think the way that people are looking at the economy or the way that they're judging the economy is changing in some subtle ways that maybe some traditional economic measures aren't fully capturing. So I think people are really looking at the bad news more than they did before. We know through social media, we know bad news gets amplified a lot more. And in fact, if you look at some of the long-term running consumer sentiment surveys, some of the people who have been asking questions for a very long time are starting to notice that the way that people when people talk to them about the economy, they also want to talk about a whole range of other issues. And I think some of this is seeping into the way that they view the economy. So I think more than ever, it's important to not just track how the data is performing, but also to understand that base mood of the nation, which has been quite low, but is starting to lift now.
It's Dean Pearson there from NAB.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.6%. For the details, I spoke with Diane College, a private client advisor at Morgans. Diane, the market's up today. Why?
Great question, Ricardo. It's an interesting phenomenon. Being a Friday, there's probably not a lot of people around the market at the moment. We also see that November's a bit of the start of the Christmas rally. And I would also suggest that there's more buyers than sellers out there today.
I guess one of the key things we heard overnight anyway was from the US Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. He spoke. What are the chances now that US interest rates may not come down as fast as first thought?
That's correct. JP expressed confidence that inflation would actually continue to decline towards the rate that the central bank would like to target. But he said it's not going to be a straight line, so it's going to be quite bumpy along the way. And that sort of signaled that the Fed is in no real hurry to actually lower rates at a faster pace than it is already. From that, we saw US Treasury yields drop, particularly in the 10-year and 30-year, but we also saw the 2-year rate remain quite steady. Also on the back of that, we saw that the futures traders in the US have now lowered their probability from 82% to 62% with respect to a 25 basis point cut in December. However, we as a house are still advocating that that's going to take place.
Okay. Speaking of cuts, what about here in Australia? We got some strong job numbers yesterday. What's the market now saying about the likely timing of the RBA's first rate cut?
We're advocating that we're more likely to see it come through in August 25. So just means that our rates are probably going to lag the US by about 6 months.
Given we've got so many international factors playing on the markets at the moment, we've got the US political landscape changing, China's stimulus, got some data out of China today as well. There's those geopolitical issues, conflict in the Middle East, Ukraine, for example. All of that, is that now changing the way you're investing at the moment, particularly the change of US leadership next year? And does one thing concern you more than another?
Well, I think with respect to those factors that you've just outlined, there's clearly a lot going on, and investors are trying to work through that noise, if you like. They're also focusing on what other people are doing. You've seen Buffett actually increase his cash balance to $36 billion for the quarter. That's what he's traded. So he's sold a lot of his positions in Bank of America particularly, and also Apple, but he has made an investment into Domino's. So I don't know if that's a reflection of how he sees the US economy performing, whereby if you extrapolate that out, maybe we should all be buying the GLP-1 drugs. When it comes down to what other sort of factors are influencing investors, I think that in summary, you could say that the Chinese stimulus really hasn't hit the mark just yet. I think they still have a lot of levers to pull, but at this point, it really hasn't delivered. The US market will continue to push higher. I believe that that's probably because of the pro-business government that has come in with Trump. And unfortunately, the geopolitical risk with respect to Israel tensions and the Ukraine has really taken a backseat to what's going on in the US at the moment. So it doesn't seem to be really impacting investors' decisions with respect to investment.
Okay, what about local factors? I know we're in AGM season at the moment. A lot of the headlines are on remuneration reports, right? What are shareholders pressing here, and to what extent are these events actually moving the markets at the moment?
Well, what we've seen today in particular is we've seen, when you talk about remuneration events, that Lendlease has had a second strike with respect to their remuneration package for the directors. On the flip side to that, that stock price hasn't moved a great deal, but we've seen Healius come out with their AGM, and the news from that meeting has driven their share price down around 18%. So these AGMs are like a mini reporting season, if you like, and it does give the companies an opportunity to deliver information around what they've been able to achieve since they reported their first half earnings in August. We also have the mid-cycle reporting season for some of the ag companies and also the explosives. So we've seen full year results out of GrainCorp, Nufarm, Orica, and Elders on Monday. And those share prices have reacted in both directions with respect to that information. Superloop, which is another small technology slash telecommunication company, had their AGM today, and it was very positive. So that stock's up 6%. And we've got some new ones coming out next week, which I'll be looking at, particularly those from Sonic, Seek, MinResources in particular. They've come under a lot of pressure, so their AGM could be quite fiery. Lovisa and Hub24 will be another one that I'll be focusing on next week.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Well, we, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of press around this as well, is the biggest IPO for 2024 is coming out by the end of the year. Morgans is a key broker on the deal. It's called DigiCo Infrastructure REIT. It'll be a $2.6 billion, or will have a $2.6 billion market cap after it comes to market. It's coming to market from HMC Capital, which is a listed property management company. Basically, it's in the data center space. So they will build a portfolio of data centers both here in Australia and also in the US. And that's obviously a key thematic around investing at the moment on a global scale, with a lot of interest in that sector. So we're really looking forward to bringing this one to market, and I think it should be quite successful.
That's Diane College there from Morgans.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.